to. Acts chapter 10, book of Acts chapter 10. It would be helpful if I read all 48 verses, but we're not going to do that for the sake of time and because of the ice cream. So I can't leave early because I'm preaching, so I can't skip out. Acts chapter 10. We're going to just pick out a couple of spots. I'm going to start in verse 9, but we'll come back to the first part of that chapter where it talks about Cornelius. We're going to start in verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. It's around noontime. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill, and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now the episode basically is, there is a man named Cornelius, a centurion, a devout man, it says, is a Roman citizen from Italy, from probably Rome, but certainly the Roman Empire. And he's praying, and God gives him a vision that there is something more. There's someone's going to come. And then at the same time, God speaks to Peter, as he's in his trance, that you need to be able to go to this man as God leads you, because, and he didn't quite understand the message, but up to this point, all the gospel had gone to the Jewish people. Now, one thing you've got to think about is this was a transition period. Some of those Jews were saved as we understand the Old Testament law, but they had to make a choice about Christ. And that would tell whether or not they truly were right with God. So they had that opportunity. But some of them were already believers, Old Testament believers, as you call them. But they realized, here is the Messiah, the truth. They accepted that, and they were baptized and became part of that local church in Jerusalem. But they had not gone to any Gentiles. It was entirely the Jews, and most of them were already Jewish believers that believed now that Christ was the Messiah. Paul changed the direction of that early church when he went on his missionary journeys. But Peter opens up the door to something that they could not even have comprehended, that the Gentiles can believe just like the Jewish people can believe. And it doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile, Greek or barbarian, it doesn't matter. All can come by faith alone in Christ. Right. Now, that was a drastic change from what the Jews knew and understood. Peter, on that housetop in a trance, sees the sheep come down, all these animals, and the Jewish ceremonial law did not allow them to eat unclean animals. The point of the passage is not a dietary point. It is a point about, we can reach people that we thought were unclean, and they can be equal by receiving the gospel. And that's kind of a hard thing to accept. I mean, you have to think, is this really right? Is that true? Can we go right to them? Can they be saved? And I think all the time he's going, I think there's uncertainty in his mind about the whole thing. Well, Cornelius, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour, understands that somebody's going to come. That God heard his prayer and recognized. Let's go back, in fact, to verse 1, chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea. And Caesarea was sort of a, not necessarily a capital, but a key city for the Roman government. So there's a certain man in Caesarea along the ocean, a beautiful spot, and this man's name is Cornelius. He's a centurion, a Roman soldier, and he served or led over 100 men in a battalion, a band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So we have a Gentile man, but a devout man, a good man, someone that was generous. He was a soldier in the military, but well-respected, and I believe well-respected among the Jewish people. He was a leader of his friends and family. They all joined him, and when Peter came in, all of them are gathered together and respected Cornelius so that they're ready to hear and listen. So what did Cornelius do? He obeyed. He did what the angel suggested that he do. Sent three men to Joppa. Joppa right along the coast also. And he believed. He expected Peter, by believing God, that he's coming. There's a man coming. And it takes to expect him to be there. And he opened up his house, he invited his friends, his family, and all those who had respect for him showed up. And that was a sort of a step of faith that, what if they don't show up? I'm going to look like a fool. But he obeyed, and he said, I believe God, and this man is coming. And then he heard the gospels that was preached, he was baptized and received the Holy Spirit. That was the first of the Gentile converts. And it was the first step for people to realize they can be saved just like the Jewish people can be saved. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not Jewish. And if it was only Jews, I might have been lost in the shuffle. And you too. But the Gospels open up to all, Jew, Gentile, like, that anyone can be saved without preference to any particular one. And we see how God intervened. God orchestrated this whole event. It was God that, you know, there was a vision, a trance. These things were revealed to these men. So he gave Peter a dream, Cornelius a vision. And God sent Peter to Cornelius. And God moved to win the hearts of Cornelius and his household so they're all saved. Now, it reveals three important things. First of all, God responds to us. God responds. I'm going to say more about that. But God responds to us. Secondly, God expands his kingdom. His goal is to further the kingdom, that all men might come in, that more would come in. Just like the wedding, they said, there's room enough. Go out in the highways, hedges, compel them to come in. So he extends his kingdom. That's important. And he cares about all nations. He cares about all people. No matter what your the color of your skin, your background, no matter what your past might be, he cares about all men. And I think we can verify that many times over as we read the scripture. So think about this first truth. God responds to us. And I want you to think about this. Why did God go to Cornelius to be one of the first non-Jews to hear the gospel and be saved? Now, we can't fully answer that. But there are certain things suggested here. First of all, Cornelius was a man of great piety. He was a serious mind. He was respected. He loved God. Now, he did not earn God's grace by his effort and his deeds, but God recognized, here's a man ready to receive the gospel. So he positioned himself in such a way that when biblical truth came, he was ready to accept it and receive it. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We usually get the first part of this verse, and sometimes we don't emphasize the last. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And notice the last part, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here's a man seeking God. Sometimes we ask the question, are the heathen really lost? Was that fair? There are people in foreign countries that don't have the gospel like we have it here in America. Is that really fair? There is a principle that I believe is clear in the Bible. Light accepted reveals more light. And light rejected closes that door. If somebody says, look at the stars, the moon, the sky, look at the creation around me. Where did this come from? It must have come from somewhere. How did it all start? Where did man come from? Why am I here? And as he seeks that light, I believe God will open more prophecy, more understanding to that person. I've heard stories of people and read stories of missionaries that go to a place where no one's ever been. The gospel's not gone there. And they come into a village and the people say, we've been seeking God and you're an answer to what we were seeking. That tell us about this one who we're seeking. And almost the whole village got saved. God has a way of getting the gospel to people. You would think in communist China, there's no believers. They're all lost, everybody in China. And you'd be shocked to know how many missionaries are there and how many Chinese people already there preaching the gospel, trying to get people saved. You think, oh, India, you know, there's no one saved in India. Is that true, Melanie? I think there are a few people saved in India. You go to every country in Africa and you find saved people there. You can go to every country of the world. You can go to Ghana, West Africa. You can go to Guyana in South America. You can go north to Iceland. You can go north in northern part of Canada. It's absolutely amazing. I went, when I was in Fairbanks, Alaska, I went to the lower part, Anchorage, Alaska, and to Homer, and then I went north to Fairbanks. And while I was in Fairbanks, the pastor there, Brother Duffett, said, would you like to go out to a village? And so I said, sure, I'm for it. So the man I was staying with is actually a pilot, I think. So we got to the plane, it holds about 7, 8 people or 9 people or something like that. And there were like 4 or 5 of us going out to this village. So we got out to the plane and I see something dripping from the wing. And I put my hand down there. It smells like gas to me. And I said, look, I don't know much about mechanics of an airplane, but I don't know if that should be doing that. Oh, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Then second thoughts, and he went in and talked to the mechanic. They looked at it, and sure enough, one of the bags in the wing was leaking, and they fixed it. So he said, we're going now. I think, what else could go wrong here? So we get in this plane. We fly for 2 hours in this plane, and we come to a place. I mean, you see nothing. I'm sitting in the co-pilot seat, and you see nothing. It's just barren for miles and hundreds of miles. We finally said, the village is right up there. It's right on the coast. You see it. And I don't see anything. It's in the summer and still frozen tundra. And we get there. I said, there it is, little village, just tiny little village. A few hundred people, maybe several hundred people, a couple thousand or something. We land a little airstrip. We go in there and they said, now, there's a church here. Here's a missionary and his family. They spent their lives trying to reach these people the gospel. That church had been sending things there for them to help reach people with the gospel. You think, if somebody really is open, someone will get the gospel. Amen. Somehow. And I think that's proven over and over again, that God is interested in the salvation of people, and if they seek the light, they'll receive more light. So he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek it. Jeremiah said this, I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Now, we're not saved because we're searching or looking or doing any deed. But God recognizes here's someone that is interested and prepared to receive the gospel. And that's what he saw in Cornelius. Here's someone that was open. Whenever you visit somebody, very often you get the feeling they're not that interested. And when you meet somebody and they say, wow, I was just praying somebody come to my home. That's happened to me. And probably some of the other preachers. That's happened to you. Maybe someone else. I was just praying somebody would come. And they're just ready. They're prepared. I remember a man down the street. I knocked on his door and began talking to him. And he said, well, I'm a Catholic. I'm not interested. Well, you know, I'm trying to tell you that you can be saved. You can know the Lord. And he said, well, if I go to hell, it'll be my priest's fault. Well, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. It's just, if you're going to hell, you're still there for whatever reason. But wasn't interested. Now, whether he ever got saved or not, I don't know. But you meet people, they're not interested. But here's a man that was interested. He was a pious man, devout, it says. And there were, and he gave much alms. There's a lot of things that it says about this man. So they send him to Peter to Joppa, and there they send these men. They find him, and they connect. He comes in to their house. That, by the way, that's kind of ironic. Remember the story of Jonah? Where did Jonah go when he ran from the Lord? He went to Joppa, and then got a ship to go to Tarshish. And that very same place where a Jewish man, prophet, chose not to get the gospel out to people, God sends Peter for somebody to hear the gospel. That it is possible for someone to be saved. So God's plan is that those that have an interest, those that are open, and I know some people, it seems like they're not interested, but they hear the gospel, God can touch their heart and turn them back to Him. So we don't always understand all there is about the sovereignty of God and why He does some of the things He does. We can't fully comprehend. But clearly, this man tells us he was a devout man. He was pious. You know, all these things that he did. You know, he cared about those that were poor. He cared, you know, and he gave money to people, gave much alms, and he prayed. All these things are things that he did. And God said, I'm going to get the gospel of that man. And, of course, then he gets saved. You know, the devil has his methods and called the wiles of the devil. He has certain things that he's doing. But I would suppose that God would have also ways where people can hear the gospel and get saved and do certain things. And, of course, we know he doesn't favor one nation or one people over another. And we ought to think about that. You know, there's an immigration problem in our country, but when people come here, they're just as deserving to hear the gospel as anybody. Right. And our goal should be to see them saved. And there are people come legally, which is much better, but still they are from another nationality, another country, and we ought to be doing our best to get the gospel to them. He cares about all nations. He cares about people being saved. So, what is the gospel? What did Peter actually say to the centurion? In Acts 10:36, it says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. So the message was, He's the one true God. He is the Lord of all things. And he preached Jesus to him. Now, Jesus has the power of the devil, the power over death. Look at verse 38. And here was the message from Peter, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. So it is a picture of that he has power over the devil, he was crucified, and he rose again. In essence, that is the gospel. So he gave that message to Cornelius. And Cornelius responded. He accepted that and he followed in baptism. It changes his life and other people's lives. So God does respond to our actions. The Bible says, draw near unto God and he'll draw near unto you. Him drawing near to us is precipitated by our drawing near to him. It does matter how you live. It does matter your heart and your attitude. By the way, the Bible talks about modesty, and it's not just our clothing or our speech. It's our heart. It is the inner man or the inner woman, the inner person, that we are careful to honor God and respect God and fear God, that there's something in our hearts and lives that begins from the heart that is expressed outwardly. And we see there was a change in his life. God responds to those that respond to him. He's, you know, if you go back to the 2 Chronicles 7:14, it talks about revival. There's contingencies for revival. So we have to turn from our wicked way. We have to pray and seek his face. There are things that we do. He said, then I will hear from heaven. Then he'll heal our land. So there are things precipitated by our response, by our action. And if we seek God and we have a heart for God, God will respond to us and bless our lives and direct our lives. But Cornelius becomes the first Gentile convert, and it reveals to us how God cares about all people. How God responds to people and our actions, that ultimately he would accomplish his purpose here on this earth. So if we think about missions in particular, God cares about all people and we should care about them. That's why we encourage young people, pray about the mission field. That's why we raise money and support. And that's why we read prayer letters and talk about the needs of missionaries, because God's concerned about that. And we're concerned about the things that God's concerned about. That brings the blessing of God upon our lives. So God prepared the heart of Peter, just to sort of summarize what happened. The Spirit works in the heart of Cornelius and prepares him. And the Spirit of God works in the heart of Peter to prepare him. And when the two get together, Peter begins preaching and it resonates so that he responds. So we don't always know. We don't have a vision. We're not in a trance. And we don't know who will respond. But if we continue to talk to enough people, as God leads us, we'll find people. People will respond. There are people. They're praying. They're seeking. They're looking. You know, I think handing out some of these books and tracts and things, you don't know how much that's affecting somebody's life. Someone's going to get that and read it. You know, there's a man in Ireland who's handing out tracts all his life, handed out tracts, Mr. Genor. And in the afternoon, he was saved. In the afternoon, he just made a practice of it in one of the main streets in Dublin. He would go outside and he'd just start passing out tracts. And all his life, he never heard of a single response. And then someone heard someone's testimony and said, well, I was in Ireland and there, so this man gave me a tract and I read it. I got saved and now I'm in a ministry. And everywhere this man was going, he was finding someone that had the same testimony that had been saved. And one day he said, I'm going to be close by there. I'm going to go and see if I can find that man, if he's still alive. And he found him. Somebody told him where he lived at. He had left the, I think it was a bookstore that he ran, and went up to his home and he began talking to him and he began telling him of all the different people he had met that had been touched by him handing out these tracts. And he said this, you're the first person who's ever told me there was ever any response from what I did. He'd never known of one convert. Never heard back from anybody. No one knew who he was. And yet, all the people that have been touched by that. I think about the internet. There are people who go back and listen to the sermons, not just of our church, but of other churches. And you wonder how many people are affected by that. You just don't know. But I know there are people affected by it, people's lives touched by it. So Peter preached the Word of God, and he gave the message. In Acts 10:43, it says, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And then this man received it and was baptized. Now they have a group of new believers. There are Gentiles. It was a dramatic change in the early church. Later, Paul goes primarily to the Gentiles. Peter remains talking to those mostly that are Jewish. But it was the first to open the door for them to realize they receive the Holy Spirit just like everybody else. And Jew and Gentile alike can come to the Lord. Our Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20, it's found in every gospel in the book of Acts. It basically says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I don't think all this was precipitated by them understanding that. The early church was still very much contained within certain boundaries. But ultimately, it was fulfilled. And they went to Samaria. Then they went beyond Samaria. And now we have the Gentiles being saved. So we see the progression of that church. We have the Great Commission. That is still our role. There are new people to be reached. There are children being born that are growing up. They're not growing up in church. They're not hearing the gospel. And that's why we have a bus ministry. That's why we're have children's programs. Why have a Christian school? So that they can hear the Word of God and be saved. Our goal then is to go with the Word of God, our prayers, and our tears. Psalm 126 and verse 5 says that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We can have an input in people's lives in a spiritual way, an impact that could change their lives. Everyone doesn't hear it and receive it, but there are some that God's prepared their heart and they're ready. Let's bow for prayer.